In 2004, a person named Frank Warren began a project called Post Secret. He asked people to write the secret in their heart on a postcard and to send it to him as a sort of creative prank. Well over 1 million postcards later, he now says that the courage to share our secrets enhances life immeasurably. Post secrets reveal to us a rich tapestry of our collective lives. The secrets people choose to share touch on identity, behavior, and human reality itself. Some post secrets are silly. I only say bless you to dogs. Some are poignant and disturbing. My chronic illness has taught me patience. I'm still in love with my rapist. My family blames me. Some post secrets represent great joy. I spent the last 7 months as a cougar. It was the most fun I'd ever had. I love my big ass. I have no clue where my life is going, but I can't wait. Some are a little odd. I get really turned on by the smell of laundry rooms. Secrets themselves are not good or bad. They have the power to be either or both. Robert Frost captures the heft of a secret in his poem. We dance round in a ring and suppose, but the secret sits in the middle and knows. They are mighty, these secrets, sitting in the midst of it all. Society would not function without them. It might seem like a secret at its core is a private interaction between two people. But my friend and colleague Mitra Ranama, a UU minister who preached here in years past, says that secrets are really about the larger trust of humanity. She says that this is a trust based on the well-known secret that we live and die in a complex experience of loneliness. Complex, I suppose, because we can experience our loneliness with and through one another. Contrary to popular belief about what is healthy, not all secrets need to be told. Brian testified to this. Keeping secrets close can support self-esteem and personal power. Sharing a secret at the right time can build positive intimacy and foster belonging. The right time is when we are aware we are sharing a secret, and we have sacred space and spiritual safety with which to do so. No matter what, it is important to take care in the telling of our secrets. I'd like to introduce you to someone my dad recently introduced me to. This is Rosina Tucker. She's pictured here at over 100 years of age. This is a photograph that was taken in the 1980s. Mrs. Tucker kept secrets. Her husband was a Pullman porter on the railroad, serving customers on George Pullman's trains. Pullman's company was obscenely profitable. in part because he forced his workers to shop at stores and live in properties he owned, charging prices no one could afford on the wages he paid. In 1894, workers literally starving after another round of pay cuts demanded a union. They staged a massive strike that rocked Chicago, sending ripples across the country. It cost Pullman a fortune. Remember 1894, the year of the starving worker strike, please. We will be back to it. Since there were no African American unions at that point, Pullman replaced the white workers he considered too much trouble with black porters for his passenger railway cars. By the 1920s, Pullman porters, suffering under truly deplorable working conditions, were more than ready for union representation themselves. When black labor organizer A. Philip Randolph started laying groundwork for what became the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, he knew that keeping secrets was going to be key. See, this is a story about secrets, I promise. Organizing would have to happen clandestinely, ideally through some kind of messenger who could pass unnoticed. Randolph realized his friend Tucker would be the perfect person to help create a culture of solidarity and courage, and she could perform basic communication tasks. At first, the Pullman Company didn't suspect Tucker. She would pretend to make social calls to other Pullman wives, sneaking in pro-labor literature and smuggling out union dues, all by way of her handbag. But secrets often surface, don't they? Eventually, news spread. The company fired Tucker's husband. In a rage, she confronted the company's regional director at his office. The legend is she barged right into a meeting, yelling, "If you don't take care of this matter, I will be back." Her husband was reinstated the very next day. And she began to conduct her business out in the open. No more secrets. After the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters became official, Tucker founded the Ladies' Auxiliary, also known as the Women's Economic Councils. This was a formal way to do what she had been doing, organizing for the Porters Union by working with the wives and families. But instead of secret house visits, now they met in public. There are many secrets here to unpack. The first recalls us to 1894. Remember famous industrialist George Pullman? He was a born and raised Universalist, which makes him a Unitarian Universalist ancestor. The same year, his company sent federal troops to attack workers who were no longer willing to watch their children starve while they worked 16-hour days. Pullman sponsored a national tour of the custom-made Tiffany stained glass window he bought to install in Pullman Memorial Universalist Church in Albion, New York, a building that he had built in honor of his parents. This is an ugly secret. I think it's an ugly UU secret. Whatever the cause of contemporary Unitarian Universalism's reluctance to name him as ours, maybe shame, maybe uneasiness about if this means we are like him, or perhaps there's just some simple ignorance about a story that, after all, is not widely known. This is not a healthy secret to keep. We cannot reject George Pullman's legacy of greed and exploitation if we do not tell the truth about our connection to him. Letting this secret out of the bag and processing it could even help us to live our religious values when it comes to making sense of today's racial and economic inequities and figuring out who it is that we want to be today, faced with the current news of the moment. The other set of secrets are those of my dad's hero, and now mine too, Rosina Tucker. Well, I bet she could fill a few postcards. Wouldn't you like to see her post secrets? She knew how to hold information closely, and she also knew when to hold court in daylight. The bottom line is that the decision to tell a secret must come from consideration of all involved. In his book, Secrets to Tell, Secrets to Keep, psychologist Terry Hunt says that when we consider what to do with a secret, we can ask ourselves, does the telling of my secret enhance my and or another person's life? He says, if the answer is yes to both, tell the secret. If the answer is that it does not enhance your life, but it does theirs, then you tell the secret. If the answer is that it enhances your life and not the other person's, then you tell the secret to someone else. If it is not life-enhancing to anyone, do not tell. Reverend Mitra Ranama asks that we take special care with this last instruction. What does it mean to enhance a life, she writes. Ask yourself, does it show respect for myself and others? Does it have potential for growth or new possibility? Does it open up doors or windows for change? Is it loving, even if also painful? Sometimes, she says, we know all of this by quieting ourselves, scanning our body, using the mind to give ourselves full attention, and then imagining the direction of our future. For some, our bodies are not a source of information, so then we must return to ask about respect, growth, and love. Either way, she concludes, it is a form of intuition that points the way toward life-enhancing decisions. No matter what, if we tell or not, we will likely find that the secret is still ours to unpack. Using the litmus test of whether it would be most life-enhancing to keep or share can help us integrate our truth. Eventually, there can be a sense of freedom as we detach from being defined by a secret. We own our life. We are not owned by the secret. Possessing secrets is brave, whether you holler them publicly or offer them covertly. Holding them close also takes courage, because telling yourself your own secret is to offer yourself agency and ownership. In the fellowship hall after the service, you will find postcards and pens and glue sticks and magazines to cut up. I also have a handful of post-secret books for those of you who might like to browse through some secrets and can handle potentially encountering some adult content and images. That's also a content note to parents, because I hope that people of all ages might want to create a postcard that showcases their secret. You can send it to Post Secret, or not. Your call. But please also hear this. If you carry a secret that needs to be told, like if you plan to harm yourself, or you know something important about how you or someone else is being harmed. In other words, if your secret is strangling you, please don't keep it. Talk to me. Talk to someone. If you don't know who you can trust, talk to me, and I will help you make the right plan to get help. We are only as healthy as the secrets we keep. So explore them. Take a breath, scan your body, hold reverence for yourself and others, and if it is life-enhancing, cultivate a sacred time and space for the sharing of your secrets. Consider, too, if you could extend sanctuary to someone else's secret. Today launches our 3-week series on healing our histories. We have already started by focusing on our own secret narratives, the private stories that make us who we are. In the end, no matter if you share a secret or not, it is your choice. May the choice itself grant you a stronger and more comfortable sense of self. May it always be so.